a God who says, come. Let's begin in Exodus 24. Here, the people of God, these people that have been redeemed by the mighty hand of God, by the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb caused the death angel to pass over them, right? And they came out of Egypt and they spoiled Egypt. They had been slaves there for 400 years, and God brought them a deliverer and brought them out with a mighty hand through the blood of the Lamb, and they crossed through the Red Sea. And now God is leading them to that promised land that He promised ever so long ago to their father Abraham and his sons. And they are at the mount and they're receiving the Ten Commandments and the pattern for which they were to build the tabernacle and how that they were to live and worship before God. And it's kind of like God takes a break with them for just a moment. And He says, I just want to have a special moment with you. Isn't that wonderful about our God? How intimate that He is with each one of us. Who's ever been, tried to go to God, and God said, I don't have time for you? Anybody? Or you tried to pick up and call and said, this person has a voicemail that has not been activated. Or this person has a voicemail box that's been full, and you just have to leave. You never have to leave a message with God. He's always there for us, always ready to receive us, always ready to be intimate with us. It's so precious about the nature of the God that we love and serve. And so this is just chapter 24. Beloved, I would just like encourage you to just read the whole thing. Moses and Aaron and these elders are brought up into the mountain, which Moses had been up, you know, significant times. But remember, a lot of the times the other people weren't able even to come near or even touch it, or they would be killed. But here God, in a special scene, alluding to what we are experiencing right now in the church. You know, we've not been told to stand afar off and view God, or to stand outside of the veil of the curtain and not come into the holiest of holies. Do you realize that today? That today in the New Testament church, in the gospel kingdom, that you've come into the holiest of holies this morning. You've approached God face to face. And this is a beautiful picture of that, because it says that they went up into the mount and they ate and drank. And it says, and they saw the Lord. Isn't that amazing? What an incredible scene here. This has been often called the Old Testament Mount of Transfiguration. You remember in the New Testament when Peter, James, and John went up with Jesus into the mount, and God displayed the glory, the true glory, unveiled glory of Jesus Christ before their eyes, and He was transfigured, and it was so awesome that, similar as when Moses came out of the mount, you remember they had to veil His face, that it said that Jesus also shone that way. But He had just a special time with them on the mount in intimacy. And so it is here, and that's granted to every believer now in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God says to you today again, come unto Me. Hallelujah. He doesn't say, do this and that, and then come to Me. No, He just says, come to Me. So here, just in Exodus chapter 24, we want to springboard here. And He said unto Moses, here it is, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments which all the people answered with one voice and said, oh, now we would say this in our hearts, all the words which the Lord has said, we will do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and built an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Listen to this, young men. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the blood of the covenant and read it in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord has said, we will do, and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold the blood of the covenant, which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. And Moses went up, Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 of the elders of Israel. Listen to verse 10, highlighted in your Bible. And they saw the God of Israel. Does that just not give you a little spiritual goosebump there? Isn't it wonderful? Beloved, and some of you that are older, the hour is hastening on. Soon you'll be face to face with the Lord. What a moment. That's going to be all these times you've seen Him by faith. And blessed are you who have not seen and yet believed. But soon the hour and the moment is coming. You also will be with God face to face. Hallelujah. What a day. What a day that will be. And one day we'll all be with Him. In the eternal mount of God when He comes again or He takes us home to be with Him. This is all alluding to this culmination of what faith and salvation is all about, and God's revealing it. He's giving them a snapshot of it to see. They saw the God of Israel, and that was under His feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and it, as it were, the body of heaven in His clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, He laid not His hand. Also, they saw God and did eat and drink. Oh, I think about when we have the Lord's Supper. Is that not a beautiful picture of the Lord's Supper? We come and we take the bread and we take the wine and we see the Lord in it by faith, right? Oh, it's beautiful. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and a law and a commandments which I have written that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up and his minister Joshua. And Moses went up into the mount of God, and he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. Now listen to this, saint. Imagine this. Use your spiritual imagination here. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai. Now let me tell you about this. This is what you want for your life. This is what you want for your church. You want individually to be like a Mount Sinai. You want your church, the church here at Shoal Creek, that the glory of God would rest upon this church. That the glory of God just consumes upon your life as an event, as an individual. And covered it 6 days. And the seventh day He called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And listen to this. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went up into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Man, what a book of the Bible, what a chapter in the book of the Bible, right? It's an amazing scene. I've always wished I could have a time machine. Anybody else ever wish that? That you could go back and just actually see some of these things, some of these events. With your own eyes. And this would have been one of those times. But how wonderful here is a God. In the very first verse it says, come up to me. You know, this is a message throughout the Scriptures, isn't it? Let's just peruse the Scriptures and hear God say, come to us. Do you remember in the very beginning? Let's go to Genesis 7. Would you turn with me there? We remember that the world had become very evil, like it is in our day.
Yeah.
And we know that the return of Christ is paramount. We know, beloved, that He's on the way, and His foot is on the threshold, that He's coming again. And as He says, come to us, we also say, as it says in the book of Revelation, come, come, Lord Jesus. Yes, we can come to You, but also, Lord, we pray, come to us as well. And so God, it repented God that He had made man. He said, I'm going to destroy every living thing. But oh, thank God for the verse that says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, right? Look here in chapter 7, pay attention to the language. Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come, thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteousness before me in this generation. Do you know that Noah couldn't even close the door of the ark? Did y'all know that? Yep. And I thought about so many times about all those people. You know, it took It took a long time for Noah and his sons to build the ark. And there that open door was to the ark. All those years and Noah preaching that judgment was coming, that they, if they didn't repent, that they were going to perish. And they laughed and they mocked and they walked by that open door. Day after day, year after year, mocking and laughing, saying that's not true, it'll never happen, you're all crazy. And then the rain began to fall. And it had never rained on the earth. Before this, the water had sprung up from the fountains and watered the earth with a mist. But the rain began to fall. And it says that God Himself shut it in. He closed the door of the ark. All those of you who tarry to come unto Christ, to join yourself in the ark of the church, tarry not! Don't waste another day, another moment, but listen to God say, come unto the ark, come unto me. Amen. You know, I bet as the waters rose and as they began to see it cover their houses, cover the hills, they thought about every day that they passed by that open door. And now it was shut. Well, one day the gospel door is going to be shut as well. When the last elect child of God is brought forth in faith, God is going to bring His providence of this world. He's going to close it off and it'll be shut once more. So while God says, come, beloved, let us heed and obey. Let's be like the children of Israel were in our text. Right? They said, Lord, all that You have said and commanded us to do, we will do. Well, it begins with that. It begins with come to Him in faith and repentance. Well, let's go a little bit further in the Bible to the book of Isaiah. The wonderful prophet Isaiah. I don't know if you know this, but the book of Isaiah is like a miniature Bible. Did y'all know this? Yeah, who knows how many? You can just say this out loud. Who knows how many books are in the Bible? 66. Guess how many chapters are in Isaiah? 66, that's right. And the first 39, which there's 39 books in the Old Testament, the first 39 chapters of Isaiah really deal with God's dispensation to the natural descendants of Abraham and the Old Testament. But from 40 on, it deals with the work of the Messiah and the gospel kingdom that's going to come in until the second advent of Christ. So it's really neat even that it's divided up that way for us. By the way, this is going to be really free. I tell you how you can always remember how many books are in the old or in the new. Are y'all ready? This is the teacher in me, right? Let's do this, children. How many letters in the word old? Three. How many letters in the word Testament? Nine. How many books in the Old Testament? 39, right? So that's pretty easy to remember. You go to the New Testament, we'll get a little tricky here. How many letters in the word new? How many letters in the word Testament? Nine. You say, but Brother Nathan, that's 39 again. Well, listen to this, watch this. The New Testament teaches us about the cross, right? So if you multiply 3 times 9, what do you get, children? Children? 27, right? So you got 39 in the old, 27 in the new. Here in the latter part of the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 55 and verse 3, we hear the same language again. We hear this echoing throughout the scriptures. At the ark, come into the ark. At the mount, come up into the mount. And now, as Christ is prophesied, oh, listen to this. This is beautiful. This is to you and me today. This is to you, sinner. If you're wondering, can I come? The answer is you can come. You can come. You say, but I'm a sinner. That's who's invited. The righteous are not invited. He said, the physician has come for the sick. The healer has come for those who are sick. Hallelujah. Here. So I don't have anything to bring. That's the perfect condition to come. Here, Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, what? Come, ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come, ye buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money, without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligent unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight in fatness. Incline your ear and what? Read it with me. Come unto me. Hallelujah. This world will never satisfy. Can I get an amen? Amen. It's vanity of vanities and vexation of the spirit. Now, don't get me wrong. I enjoy a lot of the natural blessings that God has given us into this world. Family is great. But I feel you, brother. The family grows up and has their own families. Health is great. But as the older people here can tell you, getting to church is going to be the hardest thing that they did all week physically. Just trying to get here and get up in. It's going to fail. Our jobs, our careers. Oh, but the things of the Lord, beloved, they're eternal. Amen. The labor in the Lord is not in vain. It's so wonderful that God, we serve a God that says, come. And then we've got to hear from Jesus Christ Himself. Amen. Let's go to John 7. But I'm not going to read you the very best one to me to the end. But this is one of the best ones for sure. And we sang about it. We sang those two songs. Come unto me. Come ye sinners poor and needy. That last song really was my sermon in a song. So we're kind of preaching that song here. John 7. Have you turned there? John 7, 37. Oh, this is beautiful. In the last day, the great day of the feast, John 37, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. A Savior, a God who says, come. And there's one more that we'll get at the end. And probably everyone that is a great student of Scripture, you know which one that's going to be. But let's just kind of get down to some nuts and bolts about what it really means to come. And what were people coming to God for? What were people coming to God for? Let's go back to Exodus 24 and let's just break down some of these truths practically for ourselves, for our lives, and for this moment that we're in. The thing that he says, I want you to come up unto the Lord. And the first thing that we notice in verse 1, it was for worship. We come to God to worship Him. This is the purpose for which all of us were created, that we might glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And we were made to worship the Lord. Do you know right now that the trees are worshiping? The woods are worshiping. The stars are worshiping. They're all worshiping the Lord as Creator. But we worship Him in a greater way, don't we? We worship Him as those who have been redeemed by the blessed, precious blood of the Son of God. And this is not just something that we do on Sunday or Wednesday night. This is a day by day. We're to declare the glory of God. We're to show forth His salvation from day to day and worship at His footstool from day to day. It's a lifestyle. We are created to be worshiped. And I love what this teaches me is that in order for real worship to occur, two things must happen. There must be an ascension and there must be a condescension. And it must all happen by the power of God. See, beloved, we must be brought up to God. Isn't that beautiful? We can't come up to God by ourselves, can we? Can anyone ascend the hill of the Lord? I sure can't. Right? But isn't it wonderful that God makes His people willing in the day of His power, that He raises us up just as He called Lazarus out of the grave? Lazarus couldn't get out of the grave by himself, but the power of the voice called to Lazarus and said, Lazarus, come forth! And Lazarus came forth. And so He has called you today. He has empowered you through His Spirit to come into the church of the living God, to come to the pillar and the ground of the truth. And yes, you've come here to encourage and see one another. You've come here because it's your duty to do so as a member. But I hope the beating of your heart today when you woke up is, oh yes! Today, I get to go up into the mountain of the Lord and I get to worship the Lord God Almighty for all that He is, for all that He has done for me. We see this unity of purpose. It needs to be everybody together. And it needs to be so much more than just good intentions, right? But what a blessed change for them and for us. And I want you to notice it because it's significant and to realize how blessed that you are. As a child of God, to live in the New Testament age, in the gospel age, and so near to the return of Christ, you're greatly blessed. Because here it says about them to worship people. Well, notice chapter 24, Exodus, verse 1, worship ye, and then what does it say? Afar off. This is the Old Testament experience. There were always barriers. There were curtains. There were rules. There were regulations. Only the Levitical priesthood was actually allowed inside, you know, the holy place and at the altar and at the laver. Everybody else stood afar off. But is anybody afar off today? No. Did anybody say, y'all sit in the back of the church or stay outside and we'll let you listen through the windows? No, it's because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He rent the veil from top to bottom. Amen. He drove the money changers out of the court of the Gentiles. And He has said to all of us today, you may come freely. You may come boldly to a throne of grace. You come and kneel before Me and worship Me. And it is our greatest privilege and delight to do so, is it not? It is the chief end of our souls and of our lives. How wonderful, what a blessing that we've been able to do that very thing. But hallelujah, it wasn't afar off. We were brought nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. So, when you're coming to God and you're thinking about that in your life, I want to be constantly coming to God. That's so important for you to get that in your mind. That it's a day-by-day thing. That I want to be constantly coming to God. I was speaking to one of the older sisters here that the outward man is perishing, but the inward man, it's renewed day by day. How does that renewal day by day take place? It's by coming to God. It's by coming to Him. And He says, come. So, beloved, come to Him to worship. Secondly, here, they are coming to fellowship. You know, I said that God has to bring us up to Him, but God almost also has to condescend to us in order for worship and fellowship to occur. I'm glad the Lord is willing to come down. I'm glad He was willing, though He was rich, yet for our sakes He became poor, that we through His poverty might be rich. I love when we read in Revelation, I love when you read about the candlesticks, that it's the Lord Himself that's walking among the candlesticks. I love when I look back in the first paradise, Adam and Eve, it says that the Lord walked with them. He came down and walked with them in the garden in the cool of the day, and they forfeited that and they lost that close fellowship with God. But here we see in Exodus 24, God giving them a regaining, a beginning of the regaining and recapturing of that by saying, come up to Me. Eat and drink with Me. They saw the Lord. They ate and drank and they saw the Lord. They fellowshiped with one another. What a beautiful scene, right? This generation is going to have some major failures that we all know. We all know they halted when they went into the land of Canaan. They didn't. Their faith failed at that moment and they all died in the wilderness. That's why I said it has to be more than good intentions, right? There has to be some resolve. There has to be more than words in our lives. And so it is when we want to fellowship. Go with me to John 21, just to kind of hammer this home. The Gospel of John, chapter 21. Oh, I hope you can see that my heart is full for you. This was after that the Lord Jesus had resurrected. And, you know, many of the Thomas was doubting. Peter was still really ego hurt, ego slayed because of his denial. So maybe Jesus would say, you know what, Thomas? If you're a doubter, don't come. Just stay away. You know, Peter, you know, when I needed you, Peter, you weren't there. You and John, even when I was in Gethsemane, y'all couldn't even stay awake with me 1 hour while I prayed. Remember he said that to him? He said, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Jesus said, indeed, the spirit is willing, but what? What, church? Flesh is weak, and don't we all know it? That's why we need to keep coming to God. We need to keep coming to God for that inward man being renewed, to teach us what it is to worship, to teach us the blessing of fellowship. And so Jesus here in John 21, isn't it wonderful? They are trying to fish all night. They went back to what they were used to. Peter said, I go fishing. You see how contagious just doing something is. The rest of them said, we'll go with you. And they fished all night. And how much did they catch, beloved? Nothing. Nada. Zero. Right? Nothing. Jesus goes to the shore. He says, children, do you have any meat? He said, no. He said, just throw your nets on the other side. Simple fix, right? And it was so much. They brought in so much fish that I brought the nets. And y'all remember what Peter said? Peter hadn't lost everything. He said, it's the Lord. You realize like they were getting a visit. They swam. Peter just leaps off the ship. He swims to the shore. Why did he know that he could do that with Jesus? Because he knew Jesus, didn't he? Oh, he had seen the leper come to Jesus. He'd seen the prostitute, the woman caught in adultery, come to Jesus. He'd seen the woman that at the well, who had just wrecked her life with bad decision after bad decision. He had seen her come to Jesus. The cripple came to Jesus. The woman with the issue of blood, come to Jesus. And he in no wise cast them out. For all that the Father gives to him shall what? Shall come unto him, and he will never cast them out. Hallelujah. Whosoever will may come and make their calling and election sure. He says, verse 12, are you there with me? And Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth to them, and fish likewise. And it was the third time that he appeared to them. So do you see this dynamic here that I'm presenting? That it's you coming to God and a God coming to you. And it's his power on both ends that's making that happen. Hallelujah. What were they fellowshipping around in Exodus 24? It's the greatest things that there are to fellowship around. Now we have commonality. We could all sit around after church and talk about Georgia Bulldogs. We could talk about this great fall weather. We could talk about our families. We could talk about politics, all those things. But that's not what I want to fellowship around. And this isn't what this scene was about. But you read the text. You read it with me. What were they fellowshipping around? What should we be fellowshipping around? They were fellowshipping around the blood. Amen. They were fellowshipping around the Word. He said, I'm going to give you the commandments. I'm going to give you the tables of stone. And beloved, they were fellowshipping with the saints. So what I want to encourage you is to make the most of our times together. For it is at the altar and at the pillar and ground of the truth, which the church is, that we have these special moments. Never neglect making opportunity and making your life about worship, coming to God in worship, and then coming to God in fellowship with your brothers and sisters. But, beloved, it's more than just about that. Let me hasten on. Point three. Not only coming to worship, not only coming to fellowship that they're invited here, beloved, you are coming to be saved. Can I say that? Is that Armenian? No, it's not Armenian, beloved. To come to Christ to be saved. For is there salvation in any other? Or is it in the name of Jesus that you must be saved? Is He the one that must be come to? Is He the only one that can heal? Is He the only one that saved? He is. He's the only one you can come to. Yeah. He's the only one that has salvation. That's right. Oh, beloved, come to Him to be saved. How, Brother Nathan, to be saved by my works? Do I want to bring my fruit like like Cain did to the Lord? No. Do I bring my righteousness? No. Your righteousness doesn't count for anything. Your righteousness and my righteousness is a filthy rags. So how do I come? You come to Him. You come to Him for salvation by grace. By His grace. Through faith in His blood. And His finished work. That's the only way. And that's the only real salvation that there is, beloved. There's not salvation in any other. If you want to be saved, you must come to Christ. By grace. Through faith. That's what we believe, isn't it? We believe in salvation by grace alone. And grace is not God giving you a chance to be saved. Grace is the unmerited favor of God actually saving you through the work of His Son and applying that work through the will and the power of the Holy Ghost according to that which God the Father ordained and decreed before the world began. That's the true salvation of the Bible. Yes. There's power in the blood, beloved. Amen? Power. Wonder-working power. For any man to come to the Father, the work of Christ is indispensable. It is the blood that procures all these wondrous privileges that we were talked about. And this is a truth saying, you will either be made guilty of the blood or you will be made guiltless by the blood. There's no other option.
Yeah.
Must be through the blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And here we see the blood sprinkled on the altar. Right? And we see the blood sprinkled on the people. It's about the blood of the sacrifice and the altar and the lamb. So we read these wonderful words of the Savior, of the God who says, come. We've already read, He said, come and dine. He said, come unto me and if you're thirsty and I'll satisfy. You know, I always feel sorry for the rock band heroes, right? U2. I love listening to U2, but they still haven't found what they're looking for. Mick Jagger, he just can't get no satisfaction. Well, they've never come to Christ. Because if they came to Christ, their soul would be satisfied. They would find what their soul was looking for. To be saved is the issue. Don't be almost saved. I think about Lot's wife, right? The angels went down to Sodom and Gomorrah. You remember Lot was there with his wife and his children. And they said, God's fixing to burn this place to the ground, right? And there was some hesitancy there, even. And it's almost like the angels just said, hey, we got to get these people out. It's almost like they dragged them kicking and screaming out. I don't know if it was that way. That's the way I kind of read into it. But the angel said, whatever you do, after you leave this, what did they say, beloved? Don't look back. They were on the way to salvation to be saved. Lot's wife, she looks back and she turns into a pillar of salt. She was almost saved, right? Oh, no, beloved. Make your calling and election sure. Come to Christ where salvation is. Listen to His words to you, Matthew 11. 28 through 30. This is so beautiful. These ought to be some of the most beautiful words ever written in the English language. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Does that do good to anybody's heart today?
Yes.
Oh, it does good to my heart. To know I have a burden bearer. Someone that will get up under and always bears the heaviest part. Come, that says, come unto me. Bring me everything that you got. I'm big enough for it. I'm bigger than all your problems. I'm bigger than all your fears. I'm bigger than all your problems. Amen?
Yeah.
Come unto me. If you will, come unto me. All you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to Christ. Come to God to be saved. To worship, to fellowship, to be saved. And then come to see His glory because that's what it's all about. Right? We see the invitation to come and worship. We see the fellowship that they were having in Exodus 24. We see the power of the blood as it was applied and the covenant was applied to them and the privileges and the honors that it gave to them to go up into the mount and to sit and eat and drink and see God. But the culmination of it all was the glory of God. The glory of God came down on Mount Sinai and rested for 7 days. And they said it was just an unbelievable sight, this Old Testament mount of transfiguration. What is God's glory, beloved? What is it? How can we even define it? Define it. Well, it's all that He is. And all that He does is the glory of God. Do you know that the whole universe is just the theater of His glory? Did you know that? Open our eyes, Lord, to see Your glory. May I just be a Mount Sinai that's devoured in Your glory. That everything that I do has an eye to Your glory. For I know that one day, Lord, in the end, You're going to call, make that final call to us to come up. And then we'll just go from glory to glory. I love that song. We sing, it will all be glory by and by. Oh, come to see His glory. Now let me tell you something, beloved. It's true. And I had to learn this some real hard ways in my life. And I know that I'm still learning it. You cannot glorify God and yourself at the same time. It's not going to work. God's not giving His glory to anyone. Amen? If He did, He would cease to be God. God must glorify Himself. And we must glorify God with all that we are. Just a couple of scriptures here. Just love this. This is the psalmist thinking back to the moment that I've read to you in Exodus 24. Just thinking hindsight back to that. And listen to this and let it fill you with the glory of the Lord as we read it. Psalm 97, verse 1. The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of the isles be glad thereof. Here's worship, right? Clouds and darkness are round about Him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of His throne. A fire goeth before Him and burneth up His enemies round about. His lightnings enlighten the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare His righteousness, and all the people see His what?
Glory.
See His glory. I'm not one ever in my life or ever in my ministry that have tried to beat the tom-toms for Primitive Baptist. I've never been ashamed of that name. I'm trying to live up to the name. I'm so thankful for the heritage that we have. But I want to tell you why. It's because of all the religions, of all the denominations of Christianity that I've ever been around, studied, been to their church, read their writings, the old Baptists. And I'll say this in a proper way. I say this in the most humble, meek way. God has allowed us to see that all the glory should go to Him in every single thing. And I love that. Because deep down in the core of who God saved me to be, that's what I want the most. It's for Him to be glorified. For Him to be known. For people to come to Him. Open my eyes, Lord. All the people see His glory. That's going to be true one day, isn't it?
Yes.
When He returns, every eye is going to see. Oh, and I pray that you see Him in grace and not in wrath. I love this. This is not the last one I'll read, but our time is winding down, beloved, but hadn't it been sweet time together? Oh, hallelujah. I hope that your heart has been encouraged. Listen to this again from the prophet Isaiah in the beginning of his book that he wrote. This is Isaiah 2. If you can go to this one and if you can stay with me for one more, I promise you, I know you're going to like this one, but you're going to love the last one. We're talking about coming to see His glory. Think about Exodus 24, that journey that we've been through. God says, come, come to worship, come to fellowship, come through the blood of the sacrifice, come and be a part and see and view my glory. It's all there. A God that says, come unto me. And now we're in that last part of, Lord, fix my eyes on your glory. What did Moses want to see? The one request that Moses had. He'd seen the Red Sea part. He saw bread just appear on the ground. He saw quail fall to the earth and feed 2 million people. But what did Moses want to see? Lord, I beseech thee, show me thy what? Thy glory. How long has it been since you just prayed that in your prayer life? Lord, help me at my job. You should pray that. Lord, I want you to save my children. You should pray that. Lord, help us in this situation at our church. You should pray that. You should pray all those things. But wouldn't the most important thing that you and I could pray for is that we see the glory of God in our day, in our lives, that God would be glorified. Isaiah chapter 2, as we begin to close. Oh, this is beautiful. Because this is like what we're doing today. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days. That's what we live in, beloved. The last days are from when Jesus was born until Jesus returns again. If you want to know what the last days, those are the last days. That's how they're defined. From when Jesus came in the fullness of time, and when He comes, it'll be the end of time. Those are the last days. In the last days, which we live in, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain. I believe that to be the church kingdom. I don't believe it's any millennial reign kingdom. I believe we're in it right now. I believe Christ is on His throne right now, reigning in His kingdom. You can disagree with me, that's fine. But I'm preaching and I get to say what I believe. And shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. Does that not happen with the church? That's exactly what has happened. And many people shall go and say, here it is, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. That's beautiful. But the last one, beloved, is the last time that we're going to hear it. We're only going to hear it one last time. And we'll never hear it again because we'll never be separated again, right? Does anybody know where I'm going? I just want to know. Does anybody know what the last scripture is going to be? Where it's going to be? Anybody want to take a guess? Matthew 25. Y'all remember what we call the great white throne judgment, right? The shepherd is going to come at the end, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about. He's going to do some separating. All mankind is going to be gathered before Him. And as a shepherd separates, He's going to separate the sheep from the goats. Now let me tell you something. All of you in here that consider yourself a sheep, let me tell you something. You've always been a sheep. You've never been a goat that was changed to a sheep. Goats don't change from goats to sheep. Goats are goats and sheep are sheep. Could I get an amen? Amen. Now, it is true that one time we were a lost sheep, right? Mm-hmm. We were a lost sheep, but aren't you glad you've been found? Aren't you glad the shepherd said to you, come, my sheep, they hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So here at the end, Jesus is explaining how it's going to be at the end. All people are going to be brought before Him. He's going to put the goats on His left hand, and the sheep He's going to put on His right hand. And He has something to say. Christ Jesus is the final word. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. And at the end, He's going to declare His judgment as the judge of all the earth. He's going to say something to the goats, which I'm not going to get into. It's horrible. It's terrible what is said to them. But I want to tell you what you're going to hear. For the last time, Him ever say it, And oh, what joy should fill our hearts to know these words. Verse 33, Matthew 25, the God who says, come, as we close, and He shall set the sheep on His right hand. That is done by His power, by His authority, by His will. And it's the same for the goats on the left. Then shall the King say, don't you like that? This shall the King say to them on His right hand. Here it is. And oh, for that moment when we hear these words from the Savior, come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Thank you so much for your good and kind attention. I love you so, so much. I wish I could fix all of your problems, alleviate every wound, every fear. But that's what God does. God hasn't called me to be God. I'm just a servant that points you to the One that says, come.